What's up, everyone? This is your host, Marco.
And this is your host, Clayton.
And you're listening to the Pre-Dental Podcast. Boom.
We will never lose that.
You always got to look at the elbows.
Elbows, most important thing when high-fiving.
So we actually need to make an apology, first and foremost. And who would that be to?
I would like to apologize to our haters.
Because we're back, baby.
Here we are. We didn't leave. We are back and ready to podcast.
Fun fact of the day, we actually started this podcast before TikTok was a thing.
How crazy is that?
Not just like, oh, it was popular. No, like...
It wasn't a thing. It wasn't even born yet.
Yeah, we were in that weird middle ground between Vine and TikTok.
Yeah, and we were making YouTube videos like a bunch of weirdos.
So if you see us making a TikTok account for the Pre-Dental Podcast, just mind your business.
Please don't even follow it.
Yeah, just ignore it.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Marco, we've been gone since August.
We have indeed.
I mean, not gone like gone from school, but gone from the podcast world.
Yeah, we have not made a podcast in a minute, but there's been a lot of things going on in our lives, and we believe that it's important to tell you guys about that. So, first off, I don't know if you heard about this little storm called Hurricane Ida, but yeah, she put a real doozy on New Orleans for a while.
It was just like a tiny little Cat 4 hurricane. I mean, not too crazy or anything. Lots of people had a lot of damage. I think we were pretty lucky, and I mean, at my house didn't get too much damage, luckily. I mean, just some roof damage and stuff, but...
Right. Yeah, and we can go in the details of it here soon, but, you know, we were physically gone from New Orleans for about a month.
But yeah, I mean, it was craziness.
And on top of that, even before the hurricane, and especially after, D3 is a different type of beast.
And I think Marco and I kind of alluded to it in our very first episode that we thought that this year was going to be busier and just scheduling patients. And we do still have classes and tests, but I don't think we realized just how busy it would be.
Right. And, you know, it's great for those who are like me and don't like to study a whole lot because, you know, we still have some classes and we still have some tests and we study from time to time and eventually we'll take our boards. But ultimately, you're just in the clinic grinding and you are trying to get patients in that chair.
And it's more difficult than it seems because, I mean, you're having to call patients when you get home from school from seeing patients. You're having to try to make sure those patients show up. You're trying to determine exactly which cavities and things that you need to see and what crowns you need and what if you need dentures. And I mean, it's a lot of managing.
Right. You know, it's what does your schedule allow? What does the patient's schedule allow? And then what chairs are available in the clinic? And all of those have to line up.
And they
don't.
It's a doozy. It is a doozy. But it hasn't been... I mean, it's been hard, but it hasn't been like just...
Right.
Awful.
So, to get into the meat and potatoes, as my grandma would say, even though I didn't have a grandma, so this is my fictitious grandma.
It's because he's Italian. They don't believe in grandparents there.
Yeah, it's against our culture.
So when Marco and I were trying to decide what to talk about in this episode, since we haven't had one in forever, we were wanting to talk about what's going on right now in pre-dental world. And what's going on right now in pre-dental world, Marco?
Well, we think that we're in this really weird place called dental school purgatory.
And, I mean, what is dental school purgatory? It sounds frightening.
So, I don't know if you guys have listened to it. You've probably listened to it. But it's this cool little episode of the Pre-Dental Podcast called Accepted, Waitlisted, and Rejected. And fun fact, it's actually our most popular episode.
By far.
We've ever created.
It's that one and the interview podcast.
The interview one was good.
Are both very popular.
So, this episode is actually the prequel to Accepted, Waitlisted, Rejected.
The prequel?
The prequel.
It's like Star Wars. Hated Star Wars. I can't say I hated Star Wars. I never actually watched it. But so, I mean, we talked about, okay, you got accepted. Okay, you got waitlisted. Okay, you got rejected. That's all good and fine, but what happens before that? What comes before you get accepted? What comes before you get waitlisted or rejected?
Right.
I mean, that's an important thing to talk about.
Because some of you have received interviews. Some of you have not. and that's it. There, we were sitting here scratching our heads for a minute, but realistically, I mean, besides, oh, I didn't apply.
Right.
But those are realistically the only two options or only two categories that you could potentially be in right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I halfway applied to dental school or not. You either did or you didn't. And then you either got an interview or you didn't get an interview. So those are the two things we're going to talk about. Whether you got an interview and kind of what to do and how to handle that situation. And then we're going to talk about if you didn't get an interview and how to handle that situation as well.
Right. So for context, today is Wednesday, October 20th. So applications are being reviewed, interviews are being sent out, and come December 1st, as long as December 1st is on a weekday, you know, ours was December 3rd because December 1st was on a Saturday, but as long as December 1st is on a weekday.
It's a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday. Ooh, it is a weekday. You guys.
Wednesday's a weekday?
I think so.
I can't count.
I never learned the days of the week.
I can't read. I can't calendar.
But yeah, you guys will find out whether you were accepted, waitlisted, or rejected on that day.
And then you can go listen to our other episode.
Isn't that crazy how it all lines up?
That's wild.
All right, so we have a confession at this point in the episode.
This is our first ever podcast where we messed up, had to delete about 15 minutes worth of us talking because we were just going in circles.
Yeah, we went back and listened to what we were saying, and we genuinely could not comprehend. Also, one of my patients called me in the middle of the episode, and I'm fiending for patience right now.
He's
so I just went full on stroke. We had like a 10-second silence, and then I answered the phone.
It was awkward for everyone involved. Okay, back on track.
What's this episode about again?
Where am I? Why do people listen to this?
Okay, so if you have received an interview, this section is for you.
So in our notes, it's kind of backwards, and I think that's what kind of got us off. So you've received an interview.
Correct.
Now where are we? Now where are we going?
So you're not into school yet. Some people like to send a letter to the school after their interview saying, thank you, I had a great time. Maybe specifically emailing one of the people that were on your interview panel that you really got along with. And that's fine. We've talked about that before. Like, you can do that.
Yeah, and that's perfectly okay. But don't do what one of our good friends, Pat, did. What did Pat do, Marco?
Pat got weird. Pat got really weird.
Really weird, really fast. So, Dr. Lollier, can I say that?
I
say Dr. Lollier in this podcast?
It's going to be Dr. Beep!
Yeah. He is our histology professor, oral histology and just general histology. So evidently, for some reason, they were talking about sphincters in Pat's interview. So Pat emailed Dr. Lollier and told him, what did he say? Something about, can't wait to learn more about sphincters with you or something in your histology class. Like,
right.
Don't do that.
Don't be weird. Just say thank you. Say you enjoyed it. Wish them well, and then sign off.
Yeah, and don't sound too cocky either. Don't be like, I'll see you in class. And
yeah, you're not guaranteed anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got into a few schools. Clayton got into a few schools. And, I mean, I don't know about Clayton, but also I'm sure Clayton did not send any letters.
No.
Because I did not send any letters.
I don't know how to read or write. So.
Right.
Other thing is, keep your options open, but you have to be smart about it. So we're still kind of in this weird weird area of COVID season. So some schools are actually interviewing in person. So you are going to have some travel expenses, but there's still a lot of schools out there that are doing Zoom interviews.
Right. So if you have a decent amount of options, that's a great thing. But if it's requiring you to travel a lot, we are getting to later in the season. I don't think we're at the point where it's good to reject interviews. Also, I don't know if we've said this yet or if it was in the deleted scene from earlier, but today is October 20th, just as a frame of reference there. But anyways, you don't have to accept every interview that you get. Now, if you've only got one interview and another school offers you, don't be like, oh, like that was my dream school. But no, if you've had four or five interviews and you don't want to buy a plane ticket and hotel and all of that, it's probably okay. I'd say statistically, you're much more safe declining an interview at that point.
Yeah, exactly. And you need to weigh your options too. I mean, if you do not think you would ever want to go to that school, don't apply to it in the first place. And then you're not going to put yourself in the situation to have to decline an interview. I mean, you, like we said, you have to be smart about deciding where you're going to apply and where you want to interview.
Right. But for example, I think this is a good way to explain it. I got an interview offer from Pennsylvania, but the interview date wasn't until after the acceptance date. So on December 1st, everyone figures out where they're going. And for me, on that day, I got accepted into a few schools, and I thought long and hard, and I was like, okay, is Penn worth it to at least go try out versus these other schools that I got into? And for me, because Penn was so much more expensive, I said no, and I declined my interview, and, you know, it was very nice about it. And of course, they were very cordial in their response. But, you know, you don't have to go on every single interview, especially if you've already gotten into a school.
Yeah, and early into it, if you want to go do some interviews just for practice, I mean, that's fine too, just kind of getting your feet wet and everything. That way you can really crush the interview to the school that you really want to go to. So that's perfectly okay, but don't, especially if you're having to travel to them and not do Zoom interviews, don't just blow your money on all of these plane tickets and hotel costs and things like that, going to these interviews to schools you don't even want to go to.
Yeah, I would say once you get to 4 or 5 interviews, you're probably getting into a school. Like, I would bet, like, I don't know anyone who's had more than 3 interviews that didn't get into a school, or at least waitlisted, which they ended up getting in from that.
Yeah, and I mean, they narrowed down a lot. I mean, if you're getting interviewed, they've narrowed it down a lot.
Right. Some schools may accept 33% of their interviewees, but I'd say that's the absolute lowest. Yeah. I know some schools accept 70 to 80% of their interviewees. Some schools accept 100% of their interviewees. So you've crossed the bridge at this point, is what I'm trying to say.
Other thing, stay off of Student Doctor Network.
I'm pretty sure we say that literally every episode at this point.
Because, I mean, you're going to see so many people like, rate me, you know, this is how my interview went, this is the questions that they ask me, is there some secret to knowing whether I got in, give me some advice. Just take a chill pill. Like,
right.
Don't go on there, don't question, oh, should I have said this? Did I do this right? Did I say something stupid? Like, just take it easy. Just wait until December 1st, kind of see how things go. If it doesn't go well, then we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Right. I also think Facebook groups are another point where this time of year they get bad. They're usually pretty good.
They are.
You can usually find study tips and things like that. But this part of the year is where people send in their DAT scores and say, chance me and all this stuff. And it's like, no.
It can literally be toxic. I mean, just completely toxic.
Because that's the weird thing with dental school is that it operates on averages, but there's anomalies all the time. Like, there's people with super high DAT scores that get in. And
people like Marco.
Yeah. But then there's also people with super high DAT scores that don't get in. Yes. It's the weirdest thing. And people with low DAT scores that get in all the time. I feel like those are more common. Someone with a low DAT score that like just had killer extracurriculars that gets
and
in. And
maybe they crush their interview too. I mean, there's just so many variables out there that there's not a calculator that you can put all of your things into and it spit out an answer of whether you're going to get in or not.
Right. You know, and the interview process is the only thing that you have that's close to a calculator. Like, if you got an interview that shows that, okay, your application's pretty good. So with all that being said, you need to keep yourself busy. So whatever phase of life you're in, whether you're still in school or you've already graduated and you're going back and applying, like, keep yourself busy.
And that's the thing too. So if you are still in school and say that you are graduating in May, so you still have another semester of school left, I mean, focus on your grades. But don't stress about them too much if you did get into dental school. If you didn't get into dental school, obviously you really want to focus on your grades and do as well as you possibly can. But if you got in, I mean, you don't have to, you know, just make straight A's. They're not going to kick you out for making a B.
No, I made the lowest GPA of my undergrad career the fall semester before I got in because I was fairly confident that I was getting in, you know, by the time October had rolled around, I had had, you know, 4 interviews, and I was like, well, it's I'm going to enjoy my friends and not study so much, which could have backfired on me. I will say that if I didn't get into school, that could have backfired. And the schools do require that you pass all the classes that you're in. Like, if you fail any of them, that they have the right to kick you out.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, right now, you don't know whether you got in or not if you've already interviewed. So you need to do as well this semester as you can, acting like, oh, maybe something happened and you didn't get in. So continue to do well this semester. If after December 1st you find out that you got in, you can slack off a little bit.
Finals week's about to get a lot easier for you, buddy.
Have a little fun. So also the other thing is, when you're going and interviewing, if you're doing live interviews, make sure you're looking around the city and being like, is this somewhere that I would want to live for 4 years? Do I want to be here for 4 years? So while you are being interviewed, yes, you kind of want to do your own interview of the city and just kind of get an idea of, could I possibly spend 4 years of my life here?
Right. So that's another great way that you can keep yourself off Student Doctor Network or these Facebook groups, is anytime you're going to go click on one, just go on Zillow instead and start looking at neighborhoods and start looking at houses, start looking at things to do in these cities. Because realistically, you know, if you're going to get into a school, one of them is going to become your new home. So more than likely you're not from the area and you need to learn more about it.
Being a married man myself, my wife and I's favorite activity is to look on Zillow just at ridiculous houses that we'll never afford. But I mean, that's a good thing to do. I mean, look at Zillow. Maybe you know some people who go to school there. Ask them about, you know, good areas to live in, kind of price points for rent and everything like that.
But yeah. But with that being said, don't try and become too buddy-buddy with current students until you get in. And also, that goes with classmates.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're going to be in a hurry to, you know, make friends at your interviews, and you're going to be like, oh, let's make a group me, and, you know, we're going to be in class together. You don't know that. You don't know if they're going to get in. You don't know if you're going to get in. So just, this is literally the time in your pre-dental career where you just have to chill out. And it's going to be hard because you've worked so hard to get to this point of, you know, I've had to have really good grades. I've had to have all these extracurricular activities. I've had to do this. I've had to do this. And you're telling me now, you know, I've got the interview, I just need to chill out? Yeah. Yeah, you do.
Right. So I think a way to navigate that is, don't worry about your classmates yet because they're going to be there when you get there.
Yep.
What you should worry about is your friends and family and spending as much time with them as possible. I will say my senior year, I hung out with my friends just as much as I did freshman year of college and went home a lot and also hung out with my family a lot. And I truly valued that time because when you go to dental school, you're going to be so busy. You're just not going to get to see people like you used to.
Exactly. And especially if you're going out of state or if you're in state but still living 5 or 6 hours away, that's a even bigger thing because, like Marco and I mean, we only get to go home so often and see everybody. But even if you're only going an hour away from home, you're still going to be extremely busy and you're going to be making new friends in dental school. You're going to be studying for exams. You're going to be scheduling patients. So you're not going to have as much time for your family and your friends as you do right now in this very moment.
And I will say, it's not a super depressing thing. Like, that's not the theme of this point.
No.
Because it's a phase of life, and some people call it a season of life. And you're going to make so many new friends when you're in school, and it's such a beautiful thing. But what we're saying is enjoy where you're at right now and really focus on building those relationships and like staying connected. That way, when you all go your separate ways, you know, people are more inclined to come visit you or you're more inclined to go take a weekend off somewhere. It's kind of like your last time to build those relationships. So why don't you? But speaking of relationships,
we are the expert.
Yeah,
in like relationships, because we have both extremes here.
I feel like the last podcast we did was like two girlfriends ago for me.
Two or three. So we get a lot of questions. We don't actually, but I'm going to say that. We get a lot of questions about relationships, and, you know, I got accepted into this school that's really far away, and I would really like to go to that school. But I also got accepted to this school that is, you know, really close to here. And I have this girlfriend that I've been dating for 3 days. And she kind of really wants me to go to the school that's closer. I mean, what should I do?
You don't owe anybody anything.
Not a thing.
This is the time in your life to be selfish. And it sounds rough saying that, but ultimately this is your future, your education, and everything that you've worked for. So there's two ends to this. And the first is the one that Clayton brought up. It's that don't go to a dental school for your short-term boo. Like, you know, I'm sorry, but you've only been together a month or two. Like, she or he may not be the one. And you have no idea whether they are or not. And, you know, maybe you should have thought about that before yeah. you got into a relationship.
Well, and also, if this is your long-term boo, and they are saying, no, I don't want you to go to this school far away because you're going to be so far away from me, they probably shouldn't be your long-term boo because, like, I mean, Emily wouldn't have said that to me. Emily would have said, you know, do what you want to do. Like, I mean, this is ultimately your life and your career. Like, we'll make it work. And that's what they should be saying, too. I mean, we're not going to deep dive into relationships right, right. now. But you have to think about that. I mean, this is your life.
Right.
What and if... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and on the inverse of it, too, something I've seen is when people go to dental school or are getting ready to go to dental school, they dump their significant them. Other.
Do you it's like, do that?
Dude, like, if y'all have been together a month or two, like, sure. Like, yeah. I mean, like, I get it. It's not a long-term thing. But using the excuse of, oh, I'm going to be so busy and I'm not going to have any free time and we're going to be living far away from each other. Dude, if you've been together for a while and they're a good person and you genuinely enjoy them,
You a hoe and you just want to be a hoe. That's why you break it up with them. You're trying to be a
little freshman D1.
That's why you're breaking up with them. Let's be honest with each other. You want to go see what them
scrubs do.
Exactly. Let's be honest with each other. And that, I mean, hey, if that's you and you're happy with that decision, we're not here to judge you.
Yeah, certainly I am not here to judge you.
Marco can't judge anybody.
But anyways, you know, give love a chance if they're your person. And, you know, if the stresses of dental school cause you to break up, then so be it. But, I mean, I think Clayton's a great testament that, I mean, you guys were separated for a whole year. We had several classmates that were long distance for the first year or two and then finally got together.
Yeah, and... I mean, and also the inverse of that. When we had people in our class who were together a long time and then...
A very long time. and now they're not. It's crazy how that happens.
It is.
But anyways, so to switch topics slightly, if you are looking for a companion, now is the perfect time to get a companion. And by companion...
We are talking about a pet, whether it be a dog, cat, parakeet, whatever. It's a good time to get a pet. Because it's going to keep you busy. It's going to keep you from thinking about, could my interview have gone better? Could I have done this? No, you're going to be too busy trying to potty train a puppy or litter train a cat. I don't even know how that happens.
Do you litter train a cat?
I don't know how to litter train anything.
I've never had a cat. We weren't a cat family growing up.
I litter trained Emily. So I mean, whatever you want to do, it's a good time to get a pet.
Yeah, but seriously, like the 6 months leading up to dental school, you're going to potty train your dog, all that good stuff, and you're going to figure out what the flow is. But people who get dogs right at the beginning of D1, that's just a train wreck.
I had a good friend named Marco who brought in Stella Bean.
Old Stelly Belly. We're not going to talk about that this episode. We're not ready to have that conversation. Stella was my high school dog.
We're going to bring out our D1 roommates to talk about Stella.
Yeah, she was not a very good dog when we first moved in.
It was rough.
But she trained. She got better.
Did. Yeah, she did. She was a sweet puppy.
First 2 or 3 weeks were...
It was rough.
Shitty.
Okay, if you've been listening to this podcast and you've been weeping this whole time because you're saying I didn't get an interview yet, don't worry, this next section is for you. We're going to calm your fears, we're going to give you some answers, and we're going to make this better for you.
Right. So first off, don't panic. It's really that simple.
It is. I mean, you can worry yourself sick saying, I didn't get an interview, what could I have done better? Just like we said with the people who did get the interviews. You're going to be saying, what could I have done better? Should I have done this? And should I have done that? And Marco is taking a video of my beard because it's awesome. And so
We keep getting so thrown off on this episode.
My beard just look. Y'all should see my beard. It's nice.
I'll post it on the Instagram.
Yeah. So don't panic. And we've said don't panic in so many episodes. And it's just solid advice. Because here's what happens if you panic. If you panic, you're going to end up making mistakes. Such as contacting the school.
Oh my, I can't emphasize this enough. If you're sitting in bed and you're like, maybe they lost my application. Maybe they just didn't receive a certain part of it. Like, no, we're all electronic at this point. Like, losing paperwork, although it does happen, it doesn't happen. What? Like, I have not heard of anything in recent years where a school has ever lost something. Like, they have unfortunately have not contacted you yet because you're just not in the queue for an interview.
And that's okay. Like, that is perfectly okay. There is nothing wrong with not getting an interview.
Yeah, so if you hear anything from this podcast, just know contacting the school before interview season is over and before December 1st, it will not get you in, but it sure will keep you out.
It will. And you're probably saying to me right now, what do you mean it will be okay that I didn't get an interview? Well, sure, it means that you may not get into dental school this year, but you have to think there's still many months left before they make those final decisions. You could still end up getting another, you know, they could still end up sending out emails and you could end up getting an interview.
Right, right. Some schools interview in January and February. And I mean, we've heard of schools interviewing early March.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, although it is unlikely and your chances are reduced. I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. There's still a possibility. So this is all the advice we're about to give you is, you know, what if you don't get in, but keep that in mind of it's you still have a chance.
Possibility.
So,
and so the first piece of advice, and Marco and I talked about this, we talked about this for 15 minutes before we had this because we wanted to give y'all some good advice. So we think say that you graduate in December. Right now, it's a good time to start looking around for a job and just try to see what this next year of your life is going to look like. I would say right now, just plan for the worst. Plan that you do not get in. That way, moving forward, you're not going to have wasted 4 months hoping that you were going to get in.
Right. I think, you know, at this point, if you haven't received an interview, it's a good idea to look for a job and to start planning out your year. Have a contingency plan. And some people will argue this, and Clayton and I were actually having this discussion, and he brought up a really good point. It's that, oh, well, what if you are one of those people who gets a January or February interview, and then you end up having to leave that job down the road? I would say most employers are going to be pretty understanding of, oh, wow, this guy is going to dental school. He's going to be a doctor. This girl, you know, that they're probably not going to have an issue with it. And even then, even if they do, just quit. Like,
yeah, I mean, you're not going to be in that profession forever. You wanted to go to dental school, go to dental school. So I gave this example when Marco and I were talking. So say you graduated with a biology degree, start looking around for jobs that you can use your biology degree in. So start looking, I mean, in Arkansas, I mean, you can work for Game and Fish and, you know, cool jobs like that. Maybe you can work in a lab, but just get a job, go ahead and apply and, you know, secure that job. And then like Marco said, say you do end up getting into dental school, just tell them, be like, hey, this is my dream. This is what I've wanted to do. I got into dental school. I'm going to have to quit. And if they say, oh no, you can't quit. Too bad. I mean, you're going to dental school. You're going to be a dentist.
Right. Because you can always reapply the next year. So you're going to spend over a year there if you don't get in that current cycle. So it's like you want to start looking now because you want a job that's going to be able to support you for that period of time, depending on what your lifestyle is. And this is actually a question I just thought of is, do people have to work in a dental office or can they work wherever?
That is true. And that is something that you can take into consideration. If you, I think the way that I look at it is if you can get a job and you are making really good money to whereas if you're working in a dental office and you were getting a dental assistant, you know, salary
which is not
not very good.
Like it's not minimum wage, but it's not gonna buy you a ton of nice things and vacations and whatnot.
The when they're interviewing you, if you get an interview that next year and they ask you, what did you do in your year off? And you say, well, I considered being a dental assistant, but I had this other job. I used my degree. I made a lot more money. I saved up for dental school. They're going to understand that.
Yeah. I think having that open and honest conversation, because I remember at one of my interviews, they specifically asked me, you know, if you don't get into dental school, what are you doing? And I said, well, probably either moving to New York and trading stocks or doing investment banking. And they were like, wait, what? And I was like, yeah, I have an economics degree. Like, I'm not just going to sit around and like
twiddle work my thumbs.
Yeah, and like not put that to use as long as I can find a job. You know, if I couldn't find a job in my field, then sure, like you should be applying for dental offices. But I don't think if you have a viable degree, don't waste it.
And here's what I'm seeing in dental school now. People who worked in dental offices, you know, maybe for a year or two before coming to dental school, sure, they had a leg up on those of us who have never worked in a dental office, maybe for the first year and a half. Now right. In third year, we are all on the same playing field.
It literally does not matter whether you're
doesn't matter.
For the first few months, yes, it does help.
Because I didn't know how to take an impression to save my life.
Right.
And they did.
But it's like, you can practice those things and it doesn't take very long to learn.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's not the hardest job in the world to like do some of those extra things, such as taking impressions or learning how to do like a medical history at the beginning, or like learning how to take blood pressure. Like, it's nice knowing those things going in, but don't worry if you don't. Like, the whole point is that your degree is worth something, so use it.
Yep, exactly. That's a good question.
Yeah, thanks.
How did we not come up with that?
I did.
Gosh. So the other, I mean, we've kind of mentioned this, but you really need to let the dust settle, especially if you're sad or pissed. You don't need to call the dental school and speak, you know, from your emotions. You need to just chill out. You know, give it some time. Give it until at least February.
I would say, yeah, February.
March. Give you it know, a, until February.
Don't
March.
Contact them the day of and be, you know, why did I not get in? Because they're going to be dealing with 1,000 other things that day. And I'll tell you, this is what we were saying before. It won't get you in, but it'll keep you out. And I think every year there are good students who don't get into dental school. And it stinks, but it's just an extremely competitive field. I think about some of our classmates that didn't get in their first try and ended up having 4.0s their first year and are crushing it and are getting ready to specialize. But for whatever reason, they just didn't get in the first try. It happens.
It does. And I mean, this is your dream. Don't let 1 year of getting no interview just crush your dream that you've had for 4, 5, 10 years. So, I mean, this is just one interview cycle. You can reapply. You can still get an interview. You can still get into dental school. You can still become a dentist.
Yeah. So just be careful and start processing your emotions. And I think if you do that now and start building a future for yourself of, okay, what's my contingency plan if I don't get into dental school? You can actually find a lot of relief in that it's like, oh, like I didn't get in. And instead of sitting there and thinking, well, now what? You're sitting there thinking, oh, well, like I'm about to take a job making $55,000 a year. Like that's not bad for a right. year while I wait and reapply.
And we use the example of if you graduated in December, but it's very similar to if you graduate in May. So if you graduate in May and you still have a semester of school left before you graduate, crush that semester. You know, do really well in that semester and show, and you can mention that in your interview, like, no, I didn't get an interview, but I still did really well, you know, that semester after I didn't get it. And then in May, I mean, before May, start looking into jobs, you know, start looking in places to work, and then you can look into reapplying.
Right. And I will say, it is probably a good idea to contact the school at some point, because what's wrong, not I don't want to say what's wrong with your application, but like what can be improved upon isn't always what you think. So immediately people are always like, oh, I need to retake the DAT.
It's my DAT.
Yeah, it's my DAT. It's like, dude, it's probably not your DAT. If you have like at least a 20,
yeah,
like it's probably not your DAT. Like a 20 will get you into multiple places, but it might be your science GPA. It might be your volunteer and shadowing hours. It might have just been your interview, honestly. I mean, that happens.
It does. And when you email the school in February or March, don't say, why did I not get an interview? Say, what can I improve upon to possibly, you know, get an interview in the future? Where can I improve upon to do this and that?
Right. So, show some initiative and show responsibility for not getting in, because
it's not on the school.
It's hard to accept, but it's not the school's fault that you didn't get in, which is weird to say because they're the ones that make the decision.
Right.
But ultimately, it's on you to be the best applicant that you could possibly be.
Okay. So other thing is, so say you applied to 10 schools.
Right.
And your first nine schools that you were, you know, you really wanted to go to, you didn't get interviews to those. But your 10th school, they send out emails, and you get that email in February saying that you got an interview to that 10th school that you really don't even want to go to. Do you take the interview? Do you go to it?
Yeah, 100%. You know, we're talking about this. Why would you apply to a school that you don't want to go to?
Exactly.
Because ultimately, a school is better than no school. There is the argument that, oh, I didn't get into my in-state school. You know, I would save a lot of money on in-state tuition versus out-of-state tuition. Maybe I should wait a year. My two problems with that is that, one, you already applied, got into a school. So if you don't accept that position, you're not going to get in the next year. Like, if a school accepts you and you decline it, they will not accept you the next year. It's like, why would they do that?
Right.
But the second thing is, what if you don't get into your dream school the following year? Now you're out 2 years, you've declined an acceptance that you won't get back, and you're still not any further than you were at the beginning to becoming a dentist.
Exactly. And these are conversations that you need to have and you need to think about before you even send in that application to that school. Because if you're 100% against going to that school, don't apply to it. Because then if you just wasted that money and you didn't even plan to go. So you shouldn't be even having that conversation. You know, when you get that interview email, you should already know, okay, if I get any interview from any of these schools, I am going. So just be cognizant of that and know that, okay, I am perfectly content with going to any of these schools if they send me an interview.
Right. So I think this is also a great time to better yourself and start enjoying life. Like, the application pool is so stressful, but like we said earlier, once you're in here, there's really not much else you can do. So take a break and enjoy life for a minute.
It is perfectly okay. We have stressed working. It is not a bad idea to get a job and make as much money as you can before going to dental school. But you know what? It is perfectly okay to take a gap year, to not maybe get a part-time job, work a little bit, but also to travel, spend time with friends and family, relax, maybe develop some new hobbies. That is okay. There is nothing wrong with that. And don't let anybody tell you that there is something wrong with it.
Right. Like, another big thing I hear is that you have to go get a master's degree now.
I don't get the whole
master's degree fad. Like, people are like, oh, like, if I go get a master's degree, I'll get in. It's like, okay, you will if your undergrad GPA was garbage. Like, if you had a poor undergrad GPA, then yeah, you need to do a master's program.
But I forgot about that.
But if you're... I'm just full of ideas tonight.
Yeah, seriously. He just wanted to take all the credit. That's why I didn't put him in the notes.
Right, right. But it's also me trying to make up for the fact that I answered a patient phone call in the middle of recording a podcast.
And I forgot about the master, like, people going to get a master's degree. And we did have several people in our class do that. And you can defend yourself in your interview. I mean, if you get an interview to that place and they're like, what did you do in your time off? And you say, well, I considered getting a master's degree, but this is why I didn't. You're not going to learn anything in that master's program that's really going to help you out that much. I mean, it's just...
It'll help you D1 year.
Yeah.
It's funny because when we were starting this podcast, we were like, yeah, like, a master's program is probably a good idea. But it's like, now that we're in clinic and we're doing what we're going to be doing for the rest of our lives, yeah, it's, dude, I don't think about physiology that much. I don't think, no. I think about pathology when I look at the mouth, but like, I don't think about like systemic pathology all that much. Like micro, like never matter.
Yeah, exactly. I just think it's a waste of time and money. I honestly do.
Right.
I don't get
one of those things. You should do it if you need it. But if you don't need it, don't do it.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a great undergrad GPA and you need to work maybe on your DAT scores or something, work on your DAT scores. Don't get a master's degree. Take a gap year. You know, like we said, work. Make some new hobbies. You know, make some new friends. I don't know.
Right. You've worked so hard this past year, past 4 years, 3 years, however long it took you to do college to get to this point, that you need to relax a little bit.
So I think y'all can kind of gather from this podcast, whether you did get an interview or whether you didn't get an interview, just relax. Like this is, it's a weird season of your life because like we said, you've worked so hard to get to this point. And right now you are either, you know, super excited or you're super down in the dumps. And whether, you know, whatever end of the spectrum you're on, it's okay to be at that end of the spectrum, but just chill out for right now. Just take some time for yourself. Take some time to reflect on yourself right now.
Beautifully said.
Golly. Should be a poet.
Should be a poet and he doesn't know it. But anyways, you got anything else for us, Clayton?
I think that's it. I mean, if y'all have any questions or concerns or y'all just need to vent, contact us.
Seriously, I don't think you guys realize we actually really enjoy when you guys DM us and ask us questions and whatnot. We're not always super best, like super good about checking the Prenatal Podcast Instagram.
Awful.
But like, find our personal accounts and you can message us on there too. Yeah. And I mean, I'm on Insta every day. So just find us on there. Some people find me on Facebook. I've had a couple of those.
I know,
like,
I did too.
That's fine with me. I mean, I don't care.
Find me on, what's the old social media back in the day?
MySpace.
Find me on MySpace. Yahoo Messenger.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've got to go TikTok.
All right. Yeah, we got to go figure out what that clock noise is.
Tickogram.
Tickogram. All right. Anyways, this has been your host, Marco.
And this has been your host, Clayton.
And you've been listening to the Pre-Dental Podcast. Still got it, baby.
Yep. Yeah.